back with more badass liberal talk. Bart Cop Radio.
Going to tell you a little story. And at first you're going to think it's a sports story, but it's not. This is all politics. I'm going to do some hammering. You might even like it. Let's say the World Series is coming up. Generally, the National League doesn't know a whole lot about the American League, so they send out scouts. They send out people to sit in the stands of the other guy, or maybe with today's technology, they just see every game on TV, and they have these scouts look at the other team and pick up clues. And what they do, they make these little notes, and they call that the book. So let's say you're facing a really good hitter. You're going to have a note in your brain that says, oh, this guy, he doesn't hit very good when you throw the ball high and inside. They call that the book. That's the book on him. He can't hit the high inside ones. And if you're a pitcher, they might say, oh, he's a... The book on him is he's super good in the first half of the game, but just be patient. He gets tired around the fifth or sixth inning. That's when you start swinging at everything he throws. That's the book on the pitcher. And sometimes the book on the pitcher is he's got a really, really bad throw to first base. So, what would you say about a baseball team who had a whole bunch of young, black, thin base runners that were just lightning, on the bases? And when they played a team whose pitcher had a really, really bad throw to first base, and they didn't steal, they never tried to steal, and then they kept complaining about why they were losing. Why wouldn't you say, hey, dumbass, hey, manager, you've got a team full of 4-1 sprinters or whatever sprinters run. You've got dude after dude after dude that's about 165 pounds and genetically built to tear those bases a new one. But when you get a guy on first base and the pitcher's got the worst throw ever to first base and you don't even try to steal, what's wrong with you? You're not playing the game. You're not taking advantage of your opportunities. What's wrong with you? This brings us to the Democrats. The Democrats keep losing and keep losing and keep losing. And the truth is, the Republican pitcher has got the worst throw to first base anyone has ever seen. But our side refuses to try to take second base on the guy. And that's just crazy. If you don't know a lot about baseball, if you're on first base and someone gets a good, good hit, like in one of the corners or whatever, you're going to end up at third. But if you're on second base and somebody gets even a half-decent hit, you're probably going to score. So the difference between first and second is often the difference in winning or losing a game. If you lose a game 5-4 and you forgot to steal second that one time, you probably would have tied the game. Do you see what I'm saying? So why are the Democrats so terrible at this? What is wrong with them? And here's what I'm talking about. What they have refused to do over the years, they have refused to use the right wing's hatred against them. They just absolutely act like that's out of bounds, like they won't stoop that low. How dare they? We are in a war. We're trying to win this war. But our side doesn't want to shoot the other guy when whatever he's sleeping. Doesn't want to shoot him when he's got his back turned to him. Doesn't want to shoot him because they think maybe he has kids. Doesn't want to shoot him because that guy hasn't shot at him so far yet. Now, how are we going to win a war when our side refuses to pull the trigger? And what I'm talking about specifically, and this would be so easy to do. I'm 51. I could have run the Kerry campaign when I was 11 years old because this is so simple. But they just are either afraid to do it or they can't think. In either case, we got trouble with the Democrats. But what I'm talking about is, do you know how easy it would be to marry Bush, to Rush and Ann Coulter and people like that, Michael Savage, the whole line of them? It would be so easy. if the Democrats wanted to win, if they had any desire, think how easy it would be to say, people like George Bush and Rush Limbaugh say the best thing you could ever do with a tree is to cut it down, because a tree is worthless until you do something with the wood. That's what you just keep doing that. People like Ann Coulter say that the earth is here to rape. This is a quote I got out of the New Time magazine that gave me the idea for this bit. But Ann Coulter said that the earth is here for us to rape. She was having an environmental debate with somebody in California, I think. And maybe she meant to say that, maybe she didn't. But she said, the earth is here for us to rape. Now think how easy it would be to say people like George Bush and Ann Coulter think the earth is here for us to rape. And that's why the oil companies are making 90% more profit than last year. And that's why gas is $2.50 instead of $1.75. Because Bush and Ann Coulter and Rush and Michael Savage, that whole gang, they think the earth is here for us to rape. Now you say, but Bart, what would that do? Well, I'll tell you what it would do. The first thing, well, the Democrats would have to try. So this is, we're all just speaking hypothetically. You know, like if Bart could fly, that's how we're talking about here. But if the Democrats wanted to win, it would be so easy to just keep pan every time a Democrat saw a microphone or a camera to just go into that. The way Ann Coulter and George Bush see the situation, and then quote Ann Coulter, and you tie Coulter to Bush. And at some point, Bush and his people are going to get together and they're going to say, hey, we're getting killed on this. They're making our boy look like the most extreme bastard ever. So we're going to have to distance ourselves from Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh. So what they would have to do, they would have to send Bush out at some point to say, look, people like Rush, people like Ann Coulter, they don't speak for me. They're a little on the fringe. They're trying to be funny. They're trying to make a point. They're out to get ratings. They don't speak for me. They're kind of wild and crazy. And here I'm your normal, mainstream good guy. Not like those extremist wackos, Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter. Aha! So what have we done? We have forced Bush to distance himself from those two, and all the only road he can take is, I'm a serious statesman, and they're wacko, fly-off-at-the-mouth, irresponsible idiots. Now, once he's forced to call Rush and Ann Coulter extremists and idiots, then Coulter and Rush are going to resent that. They're not going to say, I understand the president's position, and it's okay, wink, wink. No, I don't think they will. I think they're going to get pissed off and say, hey, I'm not the one that said Democrats think they're going to turn Social Security into some kind of federal program. I'm not the idiot in the room. Excuse me, Mr. President. All of a sudden, you've created a civil war with the yap, yap, yappers of talk radio in the White House. And all it would take is a couple of sentences. It's goddamn free. And I've given them the idea. All they have to do is use it. It's the same thing as having a guy on first base, and the pitcher's got the worst throw to first in history, and the first baseman just can't think or doesn't have the courage to steal second base when they're giving it to him. Talk radio and these wackos, these cable Nazis, they give us this gift. They are the most extreme sons of bitches ever. If Democrats would just train themselves to say, people like Ann Coulter and George Bush think that the earth is here to rape, and that's why gas prices are so, we're going up to Edward to drill between the moose and the polar bear, because George Bush and Ann Coulter say the earth is here for us to rape. And all of a sudden, Bush has got to come out and say, I didn't say that. The earth is not here for us to rape. We are here to protect the earth. All of a sudden, he's got to shift his position. He's got to get away from those wackos. And it would be so easy to just ferment a little bit of resentment in the opposite camp. But right now they're all together because they know for a fact that the Democrats are too afraid to fight back. It's so easy to win. It's so easy to win. But the Democrats, they just choose not to. They tell that man on first base, you will not steal second. You will not attempt to score in any way. If you're forced home, if the Republican pitcher walks 5 men in a row and you're forced to score, well, then we understand. But don't you dare try to score. Don't you try to win. You stand on first base. Do not move unless you are forced to. If the runner behind you forces you to take second, then do. But don't take second under any other circumstance. That's what we have in the Democrats today. They refuse to take a step towards victory. They absolutely are adamant they will not do it. And stop asking, because it's not going to happen. But they want us to send them our money. Now it's time to call on Al Hunt from the Horse Street Journal. Al's going to tell us what a great guy Henry Hyde is. Take it away, Al.
I'm a huge fan of Henry Hyde's. I think he made one mistake. I think the impeachment was a mistake. I think Henry Hyde was honest enough to acknowledge that in the Chicago interviews that he gave this week. Yes, he did.
He did not acknowledge it.
I am sorry. Bob, if I could finish, please. I have not interrupted you, and I hope you'll have the decency to not interrupt me.
Novak, have the decency? How long have you known the Prince of Darkness, Al?
He did acknowledge that. He said that may have been a mistake. He also said it may have been payback. I want to say that I think that was the aberration. I think the rest of his career was every bit what you all have described, a man of tremendous principle, a man of tremendous conviction, and a man of tremendous civility.
You know, I really like O.J. Simpson. He's always been one of my favorite people. And if you take away that one day, that one aberration, if you just don't look at that for a second, oh, what a fun guy O.J. is. He's fun to party with. You go and you hang out, pick up the babes with O.J. Oh, boy, that O.J. knows how to throw a party. He is a fun guy. If you ever need a fun guy to come drop by your party, call my buddy O.J. Well, like I say, except for that one little thing. Jesus Christ, Al. Your hero Henry Hyde tried to overthrow the government of the United States on a falsehood because he was ordered to by that little bug man DeLay and Newt Gingrich. He was ordered to overthrow the United States government. And you say he's a good guy? Jesus Christ, Dale, who did you blow to get your job? I thought you were supposed to represent the left. I thought you were supposed to represent the Democrats. I thought you were supposed to represent sanity on this panel, and here you are cheering the man who led the committee who impeached the president and sent that bullshit over to the Senate so those whores could lie over there. I'd also like to point out, every son of a bitch in the House and the Senate took an oath. They put their hand on a Bible, I assume, and they raised their right hand and they swore an oath to God that they were going to let the evidence guide them in this matter and nothing else. And now here that son of a bitch, he admits that this was probably payback for Nixon. Why doesn't anyone else get upset when these guys raise their hand, put it on a Bible, and swear to God they're going to do A, and then they go do B, and nobody holds them responsible? Hell, I'm more honest than that, and I don't believe in the damn Bible. I don't believe in any of that crap. Why bother to swear to something if you're just going to fucking lie?
The only reason I don't see impeachment as an aberration on the part of Henry Hyde is he always did his duty as he saw it, as a public servant. His duty as chairman of the Judiciary Committee was to hold those hearings and move the impeachment.
Boy, the shit was flying on Saturday in Atlanta. I'll bet $1,000 nobody can show me in the Constitution where it says it's the job of the head of the Judiciary Committee to run impeachment through Congress. I'll bet you can't do that. I'll bet it says if there's an impeachment to be had, the Judiciary Committee runs it. But I'll bet nowhere does it say it's the judiciary's job to falsify a bunch of impeachment horseshit and ram it down the throats of America who clearly did not want this. Similar to the Chavo case, between 70 and 80% of America, and the math says that includes almost half of all Republicans, because if you're up around the 75% range and you got 50 here and 50 there, and the closer you get to 75, that includes almost half of the Republicans, and let's say all the Democrats in the United States wanted them to knock that shit off, but they couldn't do it. The metaphor I used back then was just like a rapist in the middle of his attack. He can't stop himself until after he has his little orgasm. After the orgasm, there's a chance he might feel a little bit of remorse. But no, during the rape, it's all animal instinct. That's what these sons of bitches were doing. They were a pack of wild dogs. They smelled some blood and they just went for it without thinking. And Henry Hyde was a premier cause of this. In the middle of that mess, he could have said, I don't feel comfortable. I don't see the evidence here. I don't see a reason for us to be turning this country upside down and taking the FBI away from important things like protecting America from terrorism. Remember how they kept saying again and again, Bill Clinton should have known. Bill Clinton went to sleep. He was busy getting blown by Monica. He didn't do his job. He didn't keep an eye on those terrorists. Well, the Republicans guaranteed that nobody was going to keep an eye on those terrorists, because for the last 3 years that Clinton was in office, it was all Monica all the time. They made sure of that. If anyone tells you Bill Clinton introduced oral sex to the dinner conversation, you tell them Bart said that's a bullshit lie. It was the Republicans. Clinton did everything he could to hide this. The Republicans did everything they could to drag it into the light, put a spotlight on it. Let's make it the top story tonight on the news, tomorrow on the news, the next day on the news, the next day on the news. I remember that breathless backdoor Bettina Gregory every night at 6 o'clock, because I got off work at 6 o'clock back in 98. Every night on the way home, today's impeachment news. Wait to hear the latest rumor. That's all America was for 3 years. Don't act like I'm making this up. That's all we had for 3 years. The only thing on America's mind for 3 years, the only thing, was Clinton's cock. And that was the result of the Republicans. They wanted payback so bad and they couldn't get it at the voting booth, so they decided to fabricate a case because they could. And one of the best things I have in my resume is, I believe, 8 or 9 days before, I think this guy's name was Abby Lowell. He was a big-time impeachment lawyer for the Democrats. I don't remember exactly what his title was. But I said, this impeachment has got all the earmarks of Cliff Barnes being the sheriff trying to arrest J.R. Ewing for murder without a body, without a murder weapon, without anything. And I'll be damned if 8 or 9 days later Abby Lowell didn't stand on the floor of the House or the Senate somewhere and use that same metaphor instead of using J.R. and Cliff Barnes. He just said a sheriff and a suspect. That's exactly what we had. They could impeach Clinton, so they did. The sons of bitches. Henry Hyde was right in the middle of that. He could have stopped it. He chose not to. He chose to be a good puppy. He chose to break his oath to God. He chose to betray his constituents, his oath of office, the Constitution, the American people. And Al Hunt really, really likes the guy. Henry Hyde, you're going to hell. And Al Hunt, I'm not sure you're far behind him. You are a whore, Al. I can't say Al Hunt did all he could to destroy America, but he's appeasing the guy. He's the Neville Chamberlain of the Democrats here, doing all he can to give Henry Hyde a comfy, soft landing. Al, you're a whore. Get out of here. Henry Hyde, you're going to hell.
And just to be accurate, he didn't acknowledge a mistake. He said he may have made a mistake. No, that's not acknowledging it. That's a distinction.
He did exactly what I said.
He said exactly.
Unfortunately, you misquoted. That's not acknowledging it.
I didn't say that.
Bob, let's get it right. I quote Iraqi, and you interrupted, and you are now misquoting me.
I want you to show.
You are wrong on the record.
No, I'm not wrong.
You are dead wrong.
But you'll show it, Mr. Moderator.
No.
But let me say this.
I'm going to take misrepresentations, Bob.
You know, it's too bad Al Hunt can't fight for the Democrats with the kind of fervor he fights for his own damn reputation on this stupid show. If Al Hunt could put half the passion into his damn job, which is supposed to be, I think, representing the left, as he does is trying to make himself look good, we'd have a better show.
I would say that Henry Hyde is a one of the things is he was a very funny guy. We used to have him as the Santa Claus on our late and unlimited Christmas shows when we gave gifts to anybody. I had a great sense of humor.
Well, if Henry Hyde was a jolly Santa, I guess we ought to forgive him for trying to overthrow the government of the United States. What the fuck is wrong with people? Oh, he was a fun guy. He put on a Santa suit and said, ho, 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 so we forgive him. Jesus Christ. Can we focus on what's important? What the fuck is wrong with me? You're unbelievable.
This is exactly the kind kind of situation that Pope John Paul himself wanted to avoid, right?
Right, exactly. But what we're looking at now definitely looks white.
It looks white.
We all know what a tire fire looks like, and this is not it.
How flattering for the monkeys at MSGOP to compare the electing of a new pope to a tire fire burning in Ohio. It just figures. But don't we have to blame the Catholics? I intentionally avoided all of that because actually I watched a few minutes of it and there was nothing to say. So they kept repeating the same crap over to, hey, Bob off the street, who do you think they're going to elect the next pope? I don't know. Hey, Jim off the street, who do you think they're going to elect the next pope? I don't know. They just were like that for days. And I had no intention of sticking with that crap. So the TV sits there next to me, and where I'm hard at work for you, the reader, you, the listener, and I see a thing that says, do we have a new pope? Little graphic. So I turn it up, and they're seeing that this is the very first inkling of the very first day. I think it was the day before they actually elected. But they see some smoke coming out, and they're going, well, I don't know. Is that white smoke? Is that black smoke? Can't tell it. It kind of looks white, but I don't know, it kind of looks gray. But, you know, gray smoke compared to black smoke is white. But if they have white smoke, maybe what we're seeing is black smoke because it's darker than white smoke. I mean, are all Catholics from Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, please.
You would think, I mean, they only had a couple of thousand years to prepare for this. You would think, as the millennia went by, please, God, why can't the Catholics have found something that burns white or burns black, like the dude just said from MSGOP? They could have had a little strip of rubber there, and they could have set it on fire when they had no pope, because when tires burn, it's black as Cheney's heart. And they could have had whatever burns white. I don't know whatever burns white. Pot, maybe. I don't know. But the poor Catholics, after 2,000 years of trying to get it right, no, they sent up some smoke and let every idiot with a microphone and a TV camera speculate. Is it white smoke? Is it black smoke? Is it gray smoke? Do we have a new pope? Don't know. Do we have a new pope? Can't tell. There's just no reason for that. What is wrong with the Catholics? It's just so easy. I think 90% of this world's problems could be solved with 10 seconds worth of thought. But I guess nobody has 10 seconds. I guess everybody's busier than me.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
In 1995, Republicans rode into power on charges the Democrats had become corrupt and complacent. 10 years later, the leader of those radical reforming Republicans, Tom DeLay, is anything but complacent, but it's looking like he's pretty corrupt. It's a phenomenon known in Washington as living in Washington. Anyway, plagued by charges of ethics violations and his increasingly vitriolic diatribes against the judiciary, and I'm quoting here, Wapner can suck on it, too. It's a quote from this man. The majority leader is under fire from... let him explain it.
It's nothing but a bunch of leftist organizations that have a public strategy to demonize me.
Yes! Many leftist organizations calling for his removal, like the Communist Rag, the Wall Street Journal. Terrorists, Connecticut Republican Christopher Shays, and Rick Santorum, known in Washington as the Senate's Richard Simmons, only gayer. Even Newt Gingrich, who knows a little something about being brought low by an ethics scandal, wasn't buying it.
DeLay's problem isn't with the Democrats. DeLay's problem is with the country.
Specifically, that he scares the out of most of it. But what does the country matter? What matters is DeLay's relationship with the big man, the president, which White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan made crystal clear to the White House press room.
A number of congressional leaders that he works closely with on the Hill and he considers a friend, sure.
And he considers Tom DeLay a friend?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are different levels of friendship and with anybody. So.
Well, no, you referred to social friends, but no, he certainly is a friend.
He's a friend.
Pressed further, McClellan explained that DeLay was, while not quite a social friend, not a talk-to-the-hand friend either. What he said was DeLay was level blue, a guy Bush sword fights with in the bathroom. That's a good friend.
Friend with benefits is the top.
I wish I could poke through that. TV's so magical. DeLay still has some friends in high armed places. On Saturday, the National Rifle Association, or BLAMBLA, honored the Texan as the keynote speaker at their convention.
Norm, to be the keynote speaker for the NRA's meeting in my hometown, Houston, Texas, a concealed weapons state.
You know, I can't guarantee you that this is true, but I would bet money on it. I would bet at least $100 on this. Here we have Tom DeLay, the keynote speaker for the National Rifle Association, right there in Houston, Texas, his hometown, his home state. And I'll bet you $100 that you weren't allowed to bring your gun into the NRA convention in Houston, Texas. Now, what the hell kind of irony is that? Who's making the laws here? Some gay Massachusetts liberal that's not going to let them bring a gun to the NRA convention to hear Tom DeLay speak? No, they won't let you bring guns in because they're afraid some loon might go crazy and start shooting, which is kind of the whole point of the NRA. They think loons with guns should be allowed to shoot people. That's their whole point. That's why they're for cop killer bullets, because they want more cops dead. How can you argue with that? When you fight so hard to allow cop killer bullets on the streets, when you fight so hard to allow automatic weapons on the street, when you fight so hard to keep taggants out of dynamite, so when someone blows something up, it's impossible to trace who did it. Know what's going on here? Either dynamite and guns and hand grenades and cop killer bullets are good or they're not good. But why are they good for everybody except the NRA convention when Tom DeLay is the keynote speaker? Could someone explain it to me?
Radio.